Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
There's no easy way out.
Sing it, Hugh.
There's no shortcut home. Ain't no easy way out, Joe.
No. Hugh Douglas confident. Well, at least he said so. That the Eagles are going to bounce back on Sunday against the Vikings. Me? Not so much. I need to see them play well before I start believing they're going to play well again. 215-592-9494. We will get back to all of your Eagles calls here. Are you feeling a bounce back? Are you confident in the Birds this weekend? Look, this game feels 23-20-ish, 2017. Could they win a coin flip game? Yeah, I mean, Carson Wentz could absolutely take a bunch of sacks, fumble the football, throw it to Zach Bond, and we win a defensive low-scoring struggle. I believe that certainly could happen. But confidence, especially on the offensive side, I got to see them play well before I feel really confident. We'll get back to all your phone calls coming up. But we want to get to this because yesterday we aired the entire Dave Dombrowski and Rob Thompson press conference. We reacted a little bit to some of the bigger things. I was mostly frustrated with the tone of Dave Dombrowski yesterday because I just felt it was more of like, what are you going to do? It's baseball. We'll just shrug our shoulders and there's nothing we can do.
Made a lot of good points.
He did not, actually. He made points that pissed me off yesterday because it felt like a lot of, sorry, guys, we'll get it again next year. And no passion from Dave Dombrowski. But this caught all of our attention. In fact, this one, it was one of those, like, Hugh and I took the headphones off our ears and looked at each other like, what did he just say? Let's listen to Dave Dombrowski yesterday talking about Bryce Harper, the season he had, the player he used to be, the player he is now. Here is Dombrowski.
In Bryce's case, of course, he's still a quality player. He's still an all-star caliber player. He didn't have an elite season like he has had in the past. And I guess we only find out if he becomes elite or he continues to be good. I mean, it's not like he's... You know, it's like if you say to me, I look around the league, I was trying to think, Freddie Freeman. He's a really good player, right? He still is a good player. Is he elite like he was before? Probably not to the same extent. And so that's nothing, Nick, because, you know, Freddie's a tremendous player. And that's, to me, is Bryce. Can he rise to the next level again? I don't really know that answer. I mean, and really, he's the one that will dictate that. More than anything else, I mean, is what it comes down to. So I don't think he's content with the year that he had. And again, it wasn't a bad year. But when I think of Bryce Harper, you're thinking elite, right? You're thinking one of the top 10 players in baseball, and I don't think it fit into that category. But again, very good player. I have no idea when you see somebody. I have seen guys at his age. Again, he's not old. That level off. Or I've seen guys rise again.
Mm. All right, so there's a lot to unpack there. Let me start with this. I don't think anything he said was not factual. In fact, if you asked me to assess Bryce Harper's game today, heading into 2026, Hugh, I would say the exact same things as Dave Dombrowski. I think he assessed his game completely accurately. He has not been, at least this past year, what he used to be. His age makes you wonder, can he get back to that level again? He's probably gone from elite to very good to more like in between very good and good right now. I think that's all totally accurate. Mm-hmm. What struck me is, why is he saying it? And what is there to be gained from saying it? And from a perspective of, like, they're still married to each other, right? Mm-hmm. It's the team and him, the front office and him. It doesn't make much sense to me, and it feels like something that was out of line to say. Not that it was inaccurate, but I'll give you an example of... Let's just use Howie Roseman. I always think of Howie Roseman with these things. That's why I got annoyed yesterday with Dombrowski, because there's no way Howie would ever get up to the podium and say, boy, the Chiefs were good. What do you want us to do? Let's shrug our shoulders. You see that Mahomes guy? No, he would never say that. He would say we're disappointed and we're going to do everything we can to win a World Series. I digress. Howie, could you ever imagine Howie Roseman going to the podium after a season, let's say this Eagles season, if Jalen doesn't start playing better, and say, Yeah, Jalen was a lead at one point. He's not anymore. We'll see if he can get back to it. That's up to him. I would be floored if Howie said that. Now, he might feel it, but I don't think Howie would put that in the atmosphere. So I don't think what Dave Dombrowski said yesterday was inaccurate at all. He's right about Bryce Harper. I did think it was out of line, though. I don't understand why you say that about your franchise player. Hugh, did you think it was appropriate, out of line? Like, what did you think now that you've heard it a few times?
No, I didn't think anything. I think he was dead on because, you know, we talked about that. And, you know, not to be, I told you so,
here,
Douglas.
Here we go.
But I remember like a couple of days ago, mm-hmm. you know, when Devin Caney kind of, you know, agree with a sentiment that I had that Bryce Harper might be on the chopping block.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of validates that. So all y'all that thought that was a bad take, y'all can kiss my ass because that wasn't a bad take. You have to learn how to read the tea leaves. And the bottom line is Bryce Harper has not been the guy that he's been in the past. Y'all still holding on to that Bellum in the Bank stuff. That was a long time ago. And when you talk about where this team is, the reality is this is getting older. It's getting a little longer in the tooth.
Right.
And he had the nerve and the audacity to start the season asking for some more money and then came out there and didn't play well. I mean, that's the reality of it. And then had the nerve to roll out the rivalry starter pack the way that he did.
Mm.
So that's what – like, y'all need to start getting out your fandom and listen to what's being said. Dave Dombrowski doesn't get up there and say that. Go back and listen to some of the stuff that he said about Bryce Harper last year and see how that relationship has changed. Bryce Harper, he might not be, they might not trade him, but they're considering it. It's definitely been a conversation. That's a fact. You don't say stuff like somebody like that has that much cachet in the organization. You don't get out there and say that and everybody's talking about it. They're talking about it on MLB. And say that about him and not consider moving on from him.
Okay, so sometimes when we have these conversations, you like to use relationship analogies, right? I'll throw one at you. There could be a fact about your significant other. There could be a fact about your spouse. Is it wise for you to say it out loud?
No. It all depends. Even if you have a great relationship, it's certain things you just cannot say to your significant other.
So that's where I'm with this. Like, if you just, like, black and white, yes or no, baseball perspective, is he wrong about anything he said yesterday? He's not.
No.
That's the truth. But
I got a question for you, Joe.
What does Dave Dombrowski gain by letting us know that he's not sure if their franchise player will ever be elite again? Like, is he trying to light a fire under his ass?
No, I don't know. But I have a question for you, Joe. This is just like, because you've been married a while, right?
Yeah, 14 years.
And I'm not saying, because we've never had this conversation, but I'm just asking hypothetically.
Okay.
If, as long as you've been with your wife, if you didn't like her cooking, and she asked you one day, how do you feel about her cooking? Would you tell her, I'd never liked your cooking, or would you just go ahead and ride that out since everything's been perfect all this time? Would you just say, hey, no, like, since you asked, babe.
I'd ride it out.
Yeah, you got to.
I do enjoy her cooking, but I would ride it out. I mean, like, what do I gain from saying I wouldn't? Yeah.
You got to ride that one out. It's just certain things, even because this is the one thing that I've learned, especially dealing in relationships. Women especially, they want you to be forthcoming, fellas. You can't tell everything.
Mm.
Like, for real. Like, don't be that dummy and fall for that. Don't be the dummy and fall for that full transparency. That's a fallacy. That's not real.
That's not real life.
It's not. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. Do not fall for that joke.
So, but like the Bryce thing, it is kind of a marriage. Now, it's not as binding, right? You could trade players and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know what the Phillies gained from yesterday. Like, what did Dave Dombrowski gain from yesterday? Unless he's trying to light a fire or he's annoyed at Bryce. Like, what would Howie do? I would be floored if
Howie do is crazy.
I'd be floored if Howie ever got.
But that's not.
But
100%, man.
NFL doesn't operate like you. That's a conversation. That's a closed door conversation.
Yes, but that yesterday was an open door conversation. He put it out there. Like, Howie, is it fair to say since the 2022 season, Jalen Hurts hasn't had an elite full year? I think that is fair to say, right? I'm not talking about the Super Bowl MVP. I'm talking about since 23, 24, 25. There's no MVP votes. There's no elite season. Howie can say that, and it's factual. I'd be floored if Howie got to the point and was like, Jalen was elite at one point. I don't know if he'll ever get back there again. I'd be floored. Well, I thought it was out of line.
He'd filibuster like he always does, but Dave's always been very forthcoming. Like, I don't know. It definitely shocked me when I heard it.
It's shocking.
But the more I think about it, like, I'm okay with it. Like, Harper has no issue with being honest and saying what he feels like all the time, right? Like, they are in this together for a while. And, I don't think it's unfair for him to be honest about Bryce Harper as a player. I will say this, though. That's not comments you make about a player that you're going to trade. That's out.
Oh, because you're saying, like, torpedoed his value?
Yeah, you talk about how he has all these great years left and all that stuff. Like, by the way, like, I don't think it's a conversation unless people start calling about him. I don't think they're going to be, like, I don't think
they're... I mean, that's a fair assessment.
But something is off with this relationship.
I pick up what you're putting down. But you called him out, though.
Wasn't it an easy answer to not make this a conversation? Bryce has been a great player. Bryce would probably tell you this wasn't his best season. Yeah. But he could do something like where I would never doubt Bryce Harper. Right? Bryce Harper's one of the best players in baseball.
And he'll bounce back.
Yeah, right. Like, I wouldn't doubt Bryce Harper. We believe in him. We're excited for the next 6 years or whatever there's on the contract.
Well, he was honest about everything. He said, we'll see on Castellanos. Matt Schramm is a you-know-what.
he did do that.
That's who Dave Dombrowski is.
It is who he is. But yesterday was as blunt as the organization has ever been about Bryce Harper.
I agree.
I just thought it was striking. Our 215-592-9494. Dave Dombrowski's comment on Bryce Harper was, well, either appropriate or out of line. It is one of our Twitter questions here, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet. Learn about and schedule your evaluation, PIDentalCenter.com. Right, let's get back to the phone lines. On the Eagles, are you confident? And the Bryce Harper comment by Dombrowski yesterday. Again, I was struck by it because it was blunt. John in Allentown. What's up, John?
Guys, that comment by Dombrowski, yeah, had me want to fight. That was completely out of line. For a guy who has made bad decisions year after year and still has not put a batter behind Bryce Harper to protect him, that's pretty out of line.
Well, John,
it's really hard to be elite when you have no protection behind you.
So, John, it is fair. As much as he was being blunt and fair about Bryce's performance, it is blunt and fair to bring up that, like, they have $60 million on the payroll next year tied up in Taiwan Walker, Aaron Nola, and Nick Castellanos. Mm-hmm. Like, that's squarely on Dave Dombrowski.
Yeah. And you know, I hope that somebody offers Kyle Schwarber a ton of money. Because I don't want him back.
Why?
At all.
Why?
I don't like him.
You don't like Schwartz?
I respect that.
As a player?
I don't like him as a player. I think he's faker than fake.
He had 56 home runs.
He's fake.
I don't care.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you know what?
This is my new favorite story.
He hit 58 home runs. Man. And you know,
well, how are we replacing 56 home runs? Where are they coming from?
Addition by subtraction.
Stop. Yeah. That's the most ridiculous thing I've heard all week. And we just sat through an hour of that press conference yesterday.
This offense without 56 home runs will
addition by subtraction.
Meek. It will be meek.
Guys, what does this team not do?
What do
they
not do?
They don't play small ball ever.
Yeah. Where's small ball getting the Brewers right now? They're getting their ass kicked with small ball.
You need guys with different approaches.
Live your truth, John.
Why can't they do that and have Kyle Schwarber? You understand they can have both.
Because Kyle Schwarber sucks.
No,
John.
John, this is moronic.
He stinks.
I mean, yeah, okay. Yeah, all right, he stinks.
Time out. We need to be able to have we got to make a vote as a show. If we're not allowed to say Jalen Hurts stinks, we can't say Kyle Schwarber stinks.
He said he didn't like him at first. I can respect
that's
that.
True.
He did start by saying he didn't like him.
Jalen Hurts stinks, but...
Who do you like?
I love Jalen. No, hold on. I love Jalen, but right now he stinks.
Right, he does. Yes.
Okay, I'm okay with that, too.
Who do I like? I like Bryce Harper.
Okay.
That's why he called you to fit the Bryce.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, I like Bryce Harper. I love Bryce Harper. I love that guy. And he's an elite player if you put somebody behind him that can protect him.
Well, so John, I think it would
Schwarber to three and see what happens.
Well, so and John,
get him off the team.
We appreciate it. I think it would help. I think it's a fair point that Alec Bohm is that's a make believe cleanup hitter, we've been trying to. It's been a fraud that we've been trying to pretend is a cleanup hitter for years now. I agree with that, but I don't think it's unfair to say Bryce is no longer an elite player. I think what Dave Dombrowski said yesterday is true. Dave said he kind of went on throughout that and said, you know, kind of if you look at the Bryce that has been a top 10 player, I don't think right now he's that. That's totally true. If we're still saying Bryce Harper's a top 10 player in baseball, we're lying. I mean, just look around the league. Look at the Ohtanis and Judges. He's not in their class. Right now he's not. And it's fair. I can say it, though. Like, who am I? Dave Dombrowski is running the team that Bryce Harper kind of co-runs. That's why I wonder if there's something going on more than just baseball, Hugh, because...
Recklessly speculating.
That didn't feel like a comment you make about someone that the... Because doesn't it feel like Bryce is... Like, the two parties are aligned for the 13-year contract, like...
Yeah.
And yesterday felt like the first time the Phillies start distancing themselves from the Bryce Harper. He's our whole franchise.
Yeah. And I heard what Kyle said earlier, but that doesn't sound like, you know, somebody that you're willing to trade. I don't know, Kyle. It kind of sounds like somebody you don't think is as cute as they used to be. It's like, you know, you're dating somebody and you're looking at them like, ah.
But if you're trying to hook your boy up with her, aren't you acting like she is still?
Wait a minute. What are we doing?
No, like, I'm talking about.
He's just following your analogy.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, what are these young kids out here doing?
Well, I think I kind of cooked with that one, to be honest with you.
I wasn't prepared for it.
We're keeping things a box and beans and all that.
You're trying to hook your boy up with her, huh?
Well, like a franchise that is trying to move on from
one
a player.
One man's trash is another man's treasure.
Right, and yeah. you know, if you're trying to give away your trash, you aren't talking about how trash it is.
Well, I will say this. If they know, like say if your friend group knows that Your significant other, we're going to say significant other at this point, has gained a few and has fallen off a little bit. Like, that's something it's visual. You can't hide that. So, I mean, why lie about something that we can all see?
But why say something that we all know?
I mean, because
what's the gain?
Well, you're keeping it a bean. Like he said, he's still a good player. Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts are both older guys. But they fit well in the component in which the team that they're on.
Okay,
they fit well as a component piece.
So I'm glad you brought that up. Because I was going through this morning, like, why did he say this, right? All the different potential reasons. I wonder if he's challenging him because he knows they're not going to spend a ton. Like, 2 years ago, Dodgers lose with Betts and Freeman, right? Mm-hmm. What did they do? They went and got Shohei Ohtani. They got a player to be the best player on their team. I wonder if he's challenging him because he knows we're not going to get a Kyle Tucker, right? Like, Bryce, you got to be our best player. And right now, you're a complimentary player, not a superstar.
I just don't know how you hear that and draw the conclusion that they're open to trading him. Like, I mean, what was Howie Roseman saying about Carson Wentz before they got rid of him?
What did he say? It's like a ring on your finger or finger on your hand. Now Howie's with nine fingers and he's got rings on him.
I think at that point, you know, when you talk about baseball, at the time, you know, guaranteed contracts were not a big deal in the NFL. And I think that Howie was talking from the ghost of the past and how most GMs talk about players before they trade them.
I think he's just doing the prudent thing, and that's, you know, not undermining your own leverage in the situation.
Yeah,
right?
Maybe.
Yeah, I didn't walk away.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I didn't walk away yesterday thinking they're going to trade him, but I did walk away thinking there's some cracks in the relationship.
I got my eye on you, dude.
Man, I'm just, you know, I'm hot takey today.
But didn't they undermine their leverage in a trade? He just told everyone he's not elite.
I don't think so.
But wait a second.
Totally
I don't think so.
But if I'm selling you something and you say, "What is this product in 100% shape?" And I say, yes, but I'm not. No, I say it's actually got three cracks in it, but I don't know if it'll ever look the same.
I don't think. You could hide the fact that he wasn't elite this year, because there were plenty of times where he didn't look happy, he didn't look comfortable.
Yeah, but I think that's Like, everybody knows that, right? We're talking about what you expect from him in the future.
Yes,
you
could,
right.
I thought potentially
it could be them trying to light a fire, too. It could be.
Maybe they're pissed that he asked for more money.
If you're going to sell a car and it's clanking as you drive into the lot, I mean, are you going to sit there and be like, this thing's a piece of crap? Or you'd be like, that's very easily fixable.
They're probably mad because he threatened the commish. Probably put hands on him in the locker room.
There's something weird's going on. I think we
come on, big guy.
I mean, something weird is going on. 215-592-9494. All right, your phone calls on all these things. Let's go to Mario, Northeast Philly. Mario.
Oh, one second.
Uh-oh, Mario's not ready.
Mario, what's up, pal?
Yo, my bad, man. I was in here cutting hair. Man.
I heard it. Call. No, you're good, man. What's up?
What's going on, fellas? Hey, I was just calling. This talk about the Hurts. I thought Kyle was going to hit Will with the when he talked about Hurts going to throw over 300 yards.
I thought he was too.
But I don't know, Joe, you might be jinxing this because you said the same thing about the Giants, talking about, oh, they're a bad team.
Yeah,
the trash.
I did.
And look what happened.
Yeah, we got crushed.
I think Wentz might hand it to us this week.
Oh, Mario, I can't handle that, man. I can't handle it.
Hey, one more question I got to ask before I get off this phone. One thing I'm tired of seeing with Sirianni, maybe y'all can help me out with this. Why he be walking out with Big – what does Big Dom do?
He's the enforcer.
He's security.
He's the enforcer. Yo, guys, yeah. I'm tired of seeing at the end of the game him just walking out on his hit like Sirianni, the last dime.
Yeah, he's a consigliere.
Yeah, it is a little weird.
Yeah. I said that right, didn't
I? Absolutely. I ain't have much to say, man. I'm at work. I got my man in the chair. I just want to say, man, I love talking to y'all every time, man. And y'all have a good week, and I'll keep doing your thing.
All right, Mario. Too, we appreciate it, man. Let's get
home. Be big up.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
All right, now. Be cool, Hill.
All right, then, brother.
Good stuff, all Mario. Right, we appreciate it, guys. Appreciate it. We're in the barbershop. What are we going to do?
Hey, yeah, that's awesome. We're in the barbershop.
It does. It is awesome. They're listening to us in the barbershop. Yeah. I'm just used to it now, I guess. Sirianni, he gets the escort off the field from Big Dom?
Yeah. Yeah.
What'd you call him?
The consigliere.
His bodyguard is what he is.
Yeah, I mean, not even in the same zip code.
I'm just saying. It just sounded cool. They're both Italian. It's a cool name.
What does that mean they're both Italian? All Italian people just walk together?
No, I'm just saying, because that's
his Italian.
Guy.
Yeah. There's no Big Doms that walk me into work.
Well,
and
I mean,
because
you probably don't know the right folks. That's all.
What does that mean? I don't know the right folks.
I don't know who the folks to know. The big Dom and Nick, they walk
every
out.
Every Italian family has a Big Dom. It's just a big guy.
Seriously?
In the, well, not exactly Big Dom, but like a big guy in your family. You call him Big Whatever. This is not new.
Don't disrespect Big Dom.
No, that's not what I did. I'm just saying Italian families have their Big Dom.
You know Big Dom listen to the show now.
Listen, they keep walking out.
He's still looking for Kyle.
Yeah, you better watch it. You better watch yourself over there, Kyle.
We're buds.
I don't know about that. 215-592-9494. All right. When we come back, I have to officially put to end something that we hear around here a lot. Last night was the final straw. I'm done with it. In fact, we're going to dump it. If we hear this again, we're going to dump it on the air because it's almost become like a curse.
Evergreen.
It's ridiculous is what it is. 215-592-949 for your thoughts on what your reaction to Dombrowski's comments yesterday about Bryce Harper. I just thought, even though it was factually true, it was totally out of line to say about a player you're still married to for all these years. Hugh Douglas thinks it was acceptable and thinks they're going to trade Bryce, which is my favorite subplot of the week here from Hugh Douglas. Also, the Eagles. Are you confident they're going to bounce back on Sunday? We'll discuss it all next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to everyone's calls on the Eagles. Are you confident they're going to bounce back this weekend? Hugh Douglas came in here and told us he was confident. We all saw right through it. I'm not sure he actually is.
No, I am confident.
I'm not.
I believe in this team.
I'm concerned. I need to see him play well.
They do need to play well.
I think the defense will be fine on Sunday. Especially we're getting some pretty good news. Jalen Carter back at practice. He's going to play this weekend. Quinyon Mitchell was out there in full yesterday. That's a huge change to this game. So the defense, I feel like, will hold their own on Sunday, especially going up against Carson Wentz. But it's the other side of the football, the offense. 17 points in back-to-back games. I need to see them play well before I just believe they're going to. So now I don't have a lot of confidence. So I got to see that coming up on Sunday. And the Bryce Harper comments by Dave Dombrowski, appropriate or out of line? Where do you come down? But, I need to put a little PSA out for everybody.
What you got?
Now, I can't speak for every show on WIP. I have no control over the other shows. But for this show, I think we need to put a kibosh on something, and we need to ban something. We need to ban something. So as we talk through this Eagles offense and the season, we need a ban on Jalen Hurts has his new coordinator for the blah, blah, blah straight year. We can't do it anymore. I mean, there's evidence mounting that this is total coping and it's nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of quarterbacks around the NFL. We've detailed this the last few weeks that are playing with a new coordinator for the first time. A brand new offense. Sam Darnold with the Seahawks, with Clint Kubiak. New coordinator down in Tampa Bay for Baker Mayfield. Daniel Jones with Shane Steichen. I can go on and on about teams that have new coordinators. So that never really fit. But last night was the end of it. Joe Flacco got to the Bengals 10 days ago. It was a short week. He threw for 342 yards last night and three touchdowns. Only took two sacks on 47 pass attempts. I'm done with the, well, I would give it time. It's a new offense and Petullo and Hurts. They got to get, no. The get on the same page thing flew straight out the window last night. And then listen to this. Flacco after the game last night, after a tremendous performance on Thursday Night Football, listen to what he said about, you know, kind of trying to take it all in and be on the same page as his new teammates.
I honestly felt like this week was probably a little bit harder than last week just because it's such a short week. You're still putting in a full game plan. You don't get to hear the play as much. But there's certain things with formations and things like that that you're hearing for the first couple times. And even though you've read the play a million times, like when you hear it, it just wasn't hitting my brain right. And we were joking on the sideline. Like any time that happened and we broke the play and we broke the huddle and it was like, I don't know if we're right here. I mean, that play hit. So we got lucky tonight in that sense.
He's basically saying he didn't really know the place. I mean, just rolling out there and making plays happen on the fly as a 40-year-old quarterback. Hugh, they've had 6 weeks. It's now the seventh week for the Eagles. I can't do the, well, Petullo and Hurts, new offense thing. It's out the window for me.
I hear you, Joe. And as a fan, that's a fair assessment. It really is, because watching that game last night, you look at it, and I guarantee you that a lot of Eagle fans are like, well, why can't we do that?
Yes.
But I will say this, and I've always said this about quarterbacks that get to a team, and part of it is true, but I'm not going to deny what we all saw last night. There's a lot of not knowing what they're going to come out in that you can't prepare for, unquantifiable intangibles. And that's what Joe Flacco has brought to that team. We saw him do it when he went to Cleveland the first time, got him in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And once a team gets a book on you, then it changes. So it's a little bit of that. But I'm with you as far as the assessment of, you know, why can't our quarterback do that? Because that was schoolyard football out there last night.
It totally was.
It was schoolyard football. But there's it's a little bit more nuanced than that. But, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers had a week to prepare for a guy. I would almost guarantee you they tried to watch as much Cleveland Brown film as they could to try to get a book on Flacco, and knowing that they played against him before.
I mean, Tomlin's played against him probably 15, 20 times.
Yeah, but it's especially being in that division.
Yeah.
But you got different personnel now. And the one thing that stuck out to me that I heard other players say, that offensive line looked like trash for the Cincinnati Bengals when, what's his name, was back there?
Joe
Burrow.
Or Browning before they got Flacco.
They couldn't block anybody.
Well, maybe because Joe got the ball out of his hands quick.
If I'm
Joe Flacco, I'm like, I can't move anymore. I'm 40 years old. I got to get the ball out of my hands.
That's exactly what it is. So now Joe Flacco will come back down to earth.
I imagine
no question about that. But in a small sampling size, when people see that, man, you're like, damn it, man. Why can't our quarterback
do
that?
Yeah, and it's not about Flacco doing this every week. I don't think he's going to do this every week. He's 40, right? That's obvious. But the idea that it's a new offense, new coordinator, and that's why things look like this, that doesn't hold weight across the league. And last night was, it's over. I mean, the excuses are over.
Well, by the way, let's not act like the Steelers are unfamiliar with Joe Flacco.
They probably played him 20 times. Yeah. Maybe 25.
And look, I understand that he's been in the league for a long time. Both these guys are veterans. All that showed me last night is that this can and should be so much easier than it is. That was just pitch and catch.
Yeah, and last night wasn't, I think it's being heard probably as an indictment on Jalen, right, compared to Joe. It's also an indictment on Nick Sirianni. Like, Zach Taylor got this quarterback 10 days ago, and he's thrown the ball for five touchdowns, no picks, and like 600 yards in two games.
Yeah, I mean, the whole operation looks foolish right now.
Completely. I mean, and again, I don't want, we're going to dump the calls. I mean, we're going to dump if you say he has a new coordinator. We're dumping it. No one's going to hear it. You're talking to yourself. I can't do it anymore.
You actually want me to do that?
We might. It depends on who says it, but we might actually dump. Let's go to the phone line. South in North Philly. What's up, South?
South.
Yo, fellas. Hey, Hugh, man.
Hello. What up, man?
Hugh.
Yes.
Listen, first off, you my man, 50 grand and all, right?
Stop agreeing
with Joe and Kyle. Stop agreeing with Joe and Kyle. They don't know nothing about football. Nine pads, irrelevant stats, and eye tests, right?
I know so much more about football than yourself. It's like not even funny.
Wesh, man, you wish. Listen, first off, y'all keep comparing him to these quarterbacks around his age who hasn't accomplished half of what he's accomplished yet. And he beat them all. Okay, he lost to a rookie, lost to a second-year player, whatever.
Yeah. Also, before we go on, accomplishments are what you decide, or I decide accomplishments are. Because, Self, as much as you could say they haven't won Super Bowls, the other guys in his age bracket, they've won MVPs, and he hasn't. So accomplishments are how you view the game. That's all. I mean, they're all accomplished.
No. Accomplishments are facts. And the facts are...
Well, the facts are... Yeah, that's a team. That's a team accomplishment. Team. Individual achievements are individual achievements, and team achievements are team achievements.
Okay, you're comparing him to younger players around his age that he's beat, right? And I'm going to say accomplished more than what they accomplished with his team. How about that?
Sure.
Secondly,
go ahead.
You want to compare him to Flacco and Rodgers. Those dudes is like 50, man. They had a lot more experience on the field. Flacco didn't win his first Super Bowl till 4 years later. Jalen been the two in that time, right?
The point is we can't do the Jalen and AJ have a new offense. We have to give it time. That goes out the window when Joe Flacco gets to Cincinnati 10 days ago and throws the ball for 500 yards in two games. It doesn't hold weight.
He's been in the league long enough to see a lot of that.
Jalen, this is Jalen's sixth year in the NFL. This is Jalen's sixth year in the league.
You want to compare 5 years to like 50 years? That makes no sense, dude. Like, come on. And then you talk about AJ. You know who else has accountability? AJ wasn't running around like they wide receiver yesterday. You don't get open like Chase did yesterday. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, you're comparing apples and oranges, man.
We're talking about slants over the middle. You don't need 20 years of NFL experience to throw a slant.
People thought he was.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
Self, let's just
have the conversation. Why do you think the Eagles' passing game looks so bad right now?
Because the offensive line sucks, and y'all don't want to say it. Y'all say it, but y'all underplay.
No, I think we've all acknowledged it hasn't been as good.
Tell you something else, Joe. Hold on. I'm gonna tell you
what kind of
else.
Line do the Bengals have, Self?
Don't trust the line. That's why he's back there running around.
Do the Bengals have a good offensive line?
So I'm trying to say yes.
Do the Bengals have a good offensive line?
No, my problem with this is last year's Eagles offensive line was better. Right? You're totally right. Jalen still held the ball forever. This is Jalen holds the ball forever. That's Jalen Hurts as a player. That's just the truth.
We're not talking about last year, remember?
You're saying the offensive line is why it's the offensive line. Last year it didn't suck.
We're not talking about last year. If your run game is not working and your pass game is not working, that signifies it's your line not doing their job.
So the Bengals had an offensive line that got Joe Burrow killed.
Say it again?
The Bengals have an O-line that got Joe Burrow killed like they do every season. We're talking about slants over the middle, Self. It takes 2 seconds.
No. But they did because he got the ball out of his hands super fast.
You got rid of that rock now.
Burrow
is not experienced. Burrow is not as experienced as Flacco either, man.
This is foolish. This is so foolish.
All right, I'm done. I just.
My God.
I just don't know how the takeaway is anything last night, but no more excuses. No more new coordinator excuses. That's all. That's all I'm saying. No more. Petullo is new. Jalen has a new offense every year. Like, does anyone look at facts and have it impact the way they feel about things, or they just feel things?
We feel them.
Okay. That's fine. At least you admit it.
It's
not just Flacco, guys. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. Sam Darnold, new coordinator, bombs away. Baker Mayfield, his coordinator from last year when he was really good, went and took the job in Jacksonville. New coordinator, bombs away.
Yeah, it does have something to do with somebody understanding your skill set as well.
So what do we think is more likely? That every coordinator in the league is great and we have the one dud in Petullo?
It doesn't feel like that.
Okay,
though.
Well then what's
because
most...
Because even Brian Johnson had a little bit of success down there with the Commodores.
Of course he did. Yeah, like again, this is not to say Petullo is great and you're wrong that he's bad. No, he might be a dud. But the players are what decides the game. The players make it work. And last night to watch a quarterback that got there 10 days ago shred Mike Tomlin's defense, it was like, well, come on now.
Yeah, that is the one. And you look at that, and no matter what anybody says today, that's the one thing that you take away from that game is what you saw. Because the one thing that everybody, it's universal for all of us, you can't unsee what you saw.
That's football.
You know what I'm saying?
I can't unsee it.
We can sit here and we can talk about stats all we want, and I agree with you, and I even gave you one caveat, but at the end of the
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Today, nobody cares about that.
It reminds me when you say, because we're playing Carson this weekend, when Nick took over for Carson and the offense was better, I could never unsee it.
Yes. It's the same thing with the backup quarterback. And I can sit here as a 10-year NFL veteran and say, hey, well, that's because they don't have game film on him or they didn't prepare for him. Don't nobody care. They just saw the results.
Yeah. Well, and Flacco, he's played 25 times against Tomlin.
Yes,
yeah.
And that's fair to feel that way. It is. It's fair to feel. It might not be the right way to feel, but you feel how you feel because this game is so passionate, and that's how we are as fans of all these professional sports.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope Jalen goes out there and torches Brian Flores on Sunday and realize they're back, right? The offense is back. I'm just saying, if Monday is another one of these 17, 18-point performances...
I ain't coming to work Monday.
Well, you better. But what we're not going to do is say, new coordinator. You know, you can't run away if that happens.
Yes, I am.
You can't leave me melting here if we lose to Carson Wentz.
I can run away.
You cannot.
If they go out there and have an epic fail, I ain't coming to work Monday.
All right, Terrence in Springfield is up. What's up, Terrence?
Hujo Kyle, what's up?
What's up,
Terrence, what's up, pal?
Hey, man, first of all, I'm going to touch on the Hurst thing y'all talking about real quick. And a little bit of Philly Eagles, too. But with the Hurst thing, man, Hurst, you guys are right. He needs to get the ball out of his hands. And that's the thing I saw last night, that Hurst wasn't doing. He don't get the ball out of his hands. And it's the line, too. It's the coordinator, too. It's all of the things together. But Hurst has to – sometimes you got, like Kyle was saying, a slant. You gotta throw your receivers open sometimes. You feel me? And for the Eagles, for the Phillies, I got a perfect analogy, man. From what Bobrovsky was saying, the Phillies are like that girlfriend, Hugh. They're like the girlfriend that always cheats on you. You know they're gonna cheat, but you're like, you know what? They look good, man. Come on back home. I don't care if they cheat. Come on back home. That's what the Phillies are. Hmm? But Bobrovsky's starting to sound like. He's getting tired of it. You feel me? By the comment that he said about Bryce, like, he's starting to get in his head about, man, maybe I want to leave, maybe I don't want to leave. That's what the situation and the relationship I'm starting to feel like right now. They know they're not going to hit in the playoffs. Like, it's like the Phillies, they're cheating over and over again. They're cheating on you. But you know they're going to cheat, but you still keep taking them back. That's what it is with these guys at this point.
So we're suckers with the Phillies, is what you're saying. We're suckers.
We're pretty much suckers. We know what they're going to do. We keep taking them back. They're like that girlfriend, and then eventually it might be like Cardi B, and they might leave them. You know, they might leave Offset. You know what I mean? But guys, we're winning Sunday. We're winning Sunday. There's no other option, guys, because three straight losses in a row would be trouble. It would be trouble because, like, guys, I like the way AJ was talking in that interview. I like his energy. He felt a little bit more positive. Because, guys, we're missing swag in our offense right now. We have to start dominating with our weapons. And this goes back to what you guys were saying about our offense and how it looks when Jalen Hurts. It's not fluid. It should be easy
to use our stars like these other teams are doing it. We need Smitty to start getting off. We need AD to start getting off. We got to start playing like champions. And I know in the beginning of the season they didn't want to embrace that, but maybe they should have. Maybe they should have embraced that and came in with a different mindset, and maybe they would be look better. Now, do I got confidence in Rango this weekend and Adoree Jackson's bum ass? No. But we are playing Carson Wentz.
Yes.
If we lose to Carson Wentz, he's basically a journeyman at this point. We have to make some major trade deadline moves if we lose to Minnesota. I know they got Jefferson and they got Addison and all that, but we should still be able to beat these guys. They're still the Minnesota Vikings at the end of the day. So someday we need to whoop their ass. We need to smack Carson around. We need Jalen Carter to smack Carson Wentz like he smacked Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. We need to reset this thing and start all over again from scratch and get this team playing dominant football, because Nick, Jalen, and Petullo, it's week six. Figure it out, guys. Someday it's going to be the biggest grade and the biggest test in the media eyes and the fans' eyes. It's going to say a lot about the landscape of the NFC and the NFL.
It is, Terrence. I like the way you said it. Figure it out. And, Terrence, good phone call. Like that, to go back to the Flacco thing last night, it's on Sirianni, it's on Hurts, it's on Petullo, it's on AJ. Figure it out. Last night I watched a quarterback that arrived to his team 10 days ago, and they figured it out against a good team. It's not like they're playing a two-win team, like or one-win team. Like the Steelers are good. They also have Mike Tomlin. They have Jalen Ramsey. Like they T.J. Watt. They have real players. They had won four games already, and they moved the ball all night long. That's why the excuses are over. Like, this is on Sirianni. It's on Hurts. It's on Petullo. It's on AJ. Get in a room and figure it out. It shouldn't be this hard. We've made offense around here become rocket science. It's not rocket science. Like you said, the slant. Like it's not rocket science. It feels like the Eagles are making it harder than it has to be.
Yeah, it does feel that way. But there's probably some nuances that, and I don't know this to be precise. I don't know that. But there's probably some nuances that Jalen's probably not comfortable with. I think this offense goes as Jalen goes. Yeah. And they do it, and a lot is done at Jalen's behest. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on with this offense.
Well, I mean, none of us do, but it's got to be better. It's got to start coming up on Sunday against the Vikings. And he's right. And the defense should be able to handle Carson Wentz. We talked about Jalen Carter, the comments Baldy had a couple days ago about him. If Jalen Carter's off the injury list, can I get a dominant Jalen Carter game on Sunday?
Yeah, we got to work on that.
Go wreck the game. You know Carson will fall into three sacks. Just create pressure, and he's going to take sacks. Alan in Central Jersey is up. What's up, Alan?
Good morning, gentlemen. Love you, Joe. You and Kyle, love you. Now, I love the Eagles, but I'm objective. First of all, quickly, the Phillies. Inappropriate, if you're going to call out a player, which you should never do, I totally agree. Why didn't he bring out Trey Turner? I mean, he was unbelievable in the Dodgers. Unbelievable. And it's like watching a shell of himself. But that's all I'm going to say. Inappropriate and whatever. The Eagles. Okay. You bring out last night Jefferson, Chase are the two best receivers. A.J. Brown is very good, but he is not elite like those two receivers. T. Higgins, another great receiver. Devontae Smith is not as good. Again, when we talk about Hurst, the offensive line dictates. Again, I told you the other day, you don't remember, you got 100 calls. The other day, I saw him in Alabama, Oklahoma. The bottom line is, he is as good as the offensive line. We've had the best offensive line, no question, the last 2 years. Not this year.
Mm-hmm.
We're a shell. Our defensive line is a shell. Last night, Chase, they had trouble. Ramsey and, again, Slay. We know Slay. They are no longer what they used to be. So bottom line is, our defensive line, our offensive line are a shell. And defensively, the secondary, Adoree Jackson, the rest of them, and again, I hope they're not bringing back, what do you call it, our defensive back, Mitchell. Too quickly.
Yeah, that I did wonder that, because, you know, hamstrings are one of those injuries where you got to be careful with. And look, we obviously need him to try to win this game with Jefferson. Alan, good phone call. Hugh, I have to imagine if he's off the injury report and he practiced in full, his hamstring is feeling better. It's just kind of weird because he came out of the game. You think hamstrings are a couple weeks or at least a week. I hope Quinyon is fully ready and not pushing himself to try to play in this game because I don't want to lose him for an extended period of time.
Yeah, because the worst thing you can have is a corner with a hamstring issue. That is not a good place to be.
No. We do need him in this game because they have Justin Jefferson, and I don't trust Keely Ringo and Adoree Jackson out there. So I am very glad that he's going to play, and he looks like he's fully back. But, yeah, I think the point about the offensive line is totally fair. The offensive line hasn't been as good this year. Mailata hasn't been as good. Dickerson hasn't been as good. Juergens hasn't been as good. Lane's been in and out of games. It just hasn't been a great offensive line by any stretch this season. It is impacting things. They still got to score points.
Yeah.
They got to find a way.
They got to, man. And it starts with the guys up front, and it starts with the quarterback. It starts with the quarterback.
It always starts with the quarterback.
Ends and begins.
It does. All right, let's go to Jay in Philly. What's up, Jay?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, Jay. What's up, pal?
Hey, man. I'm loving the day, man. Man, I love you, man. Hugh was about to fight an old man. He loved my man's pettiness who didn't like Kyle Schwarber just because.
Because that is truthful. You know what it is, Jay? Because you're being truthful. I don't mind somebody speaking their truth. But when you try to hide behind saying this, that, and the third, and you're not backing it up with anything, that's where I had a problem. But he said he didn't like it.
I did respect it because you always said that. Just say you don't like it.
Yep,
I respect it.
True. But it was the way it tickled you so much.
I'm here for you, man.
So look, man, we spoke about, you said facts. So Mike Tomlin's defense has stunk for a couple of years now, bro. Like, that's been the talk. His defense has stunk. Yesterday was the third time in six games they've given up 30-plus points, bro.
Yeah, they've gotten a little longer in the tooth. They're a little longer.
They are not what they used to be. But that was still eye-opening. That was a lot of yards.
Well, I guess. But again, look, football, we talk about basketball being like a sport where one guy can take over a game, yes. But in football, when you have something that can dominate something else, it can change a game. You have one guy on a defensive line that can get double teamed. They still chip the guy. Three people on that one guy. So, like, people can change things. Our cornerback situation versus the Minnesota Vikings wide receivers scares me.
Yeah.
And Quinyon is—he's not healthy. If we were 5-0, if we were 6-0, okay, and had a good backup, Quinyon wouldn't be playing in this game, man.
Jay, I agree with that. I think it is. It's risky. Now, I hope he's not pushing for it. And Jay, we're up against it. I appreciate the phone call. We all appreciate it. But that, let's just hope he gets through the game and he's fine. But boy, they better be smart about this because we don't want to lose him for an extended period. All right, Ava Graham's got an event she wants to tell us about. Hey. Ava, what's up?
Well, actually, Joe, Hugh, I have two things I want to mention.
Okay.
That are fun because I love fun. You guys know that. First off, I'll be at Doc's Irish Pub in Gilbertsville for a Bud Light Eagles watch party this Sunday beginning at noon. I'm giving away two tickets for a very big Eagles home game coming up in the next few weeks. So drink Bud Light, come cheer on the birds, and I'll be at Doc's Irish Pub in Gilbertsville, PA. And that's at noon. Now, guys, this is the second thing. I really, Joe, I text you about this. I needed to talk about it. Last night, I went to the Flyers game.
Okay. Against the Jets?
They lost, right? That was very unfortunate. But I had an experience of a lifetime, a truly amazing experience. I sat in Gritty's Chaos Corner.
How was that?
Joe.
You want to sit in?
Yes, I'm listening.
Let's go there.
No, wait. I'm telling you, you guys got to bring your kids. They have this area, so it's a whole section, section 122. You can go on and buy the tickets online. That's a special section because most people don't want to deal with Gritty shaking his rump in front of you the whole time or throwing popcorn or getting you a silly string. Guess what? I do. It was so much fun. It was absolutely the best time, and your kids will love it. I was talking to Lauren from the Flyers. I said, we got to get Harper. We got to get your kids. I told Rod, you got to bring your kids. Gritty's Chaos Corner, so much fun.
Chaos Corner,
and you want to be in the splash zone. And the splash zone is
when you get shushed by the ice.
So the splash zone is you will be hit by maybe popcorn. You might be hit by silly string. He was climbing up. We had it was just
silly string.
Yeah.
When I was in my 20s, right? I liked Beyonce. I didn't love her. I went and saw Beyonce live.
It changed it.
changed everything.
So same thing with Gritty's Corner.
Gritty's Corner. Seeing Gritty up close doing all these skits and this absolute chaos of fun.
It sounds to
They're
me.
They're the same people, by the way.
Yeah.
Gritty and Beyonce?
Yes. Same.
Is that right?
It sounds to me like a...
Kyle, Bill last night was like, did you just compare Gritty to Bruce Springsteen and Beyonce? And
sure did. Sure did.
Because it's icon. One of those things that you have to see in the moment.
All right.
If you want to do something fun with your kids and you are okay for the first and the third, basically just watching
like
this orange fur ball the whole time, go with your kids. It is so much fun. I went with my friends and their kids. And how happy they were.
Awesome.
Amazing.
All right, I'm Hugh. We got to go to a game. Maybe.
I want to go. I want to go to the Rhodes.
Chaos Corner.
But we got to take the kids. I can't get banged up with the kids.
Oh, come on. You'll be fine. All right, 2-1.
I was sober last night and had fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's a place
so much
to be.
2-1. Get banged up.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Black Daniels over here. 215-592-9494.
Let me tell you about this Black Daniels.
All right. We got a lot to discuss here. Dombrowski on Harper. I'm banning stuff about the new OC. Enough of this stuff. Totally out of line. And your calls on all this, including confidence or not on Eagles Sunday. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.